Okay. Good morning and welcome to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have Joanne Green. Joanne never bought the adage, little girls should be seen and not heard. Neither did I, Joanne, that's for sure. She's used her voice on San Francisco radio and television, you can tell when she talks, webinars and podcasts to explore the issues of our time with playful irreverence, candor, and compassion. Now, with many decades of seasoning, as she says, she's sharing what she's learned about navigating family and career and moving through pain and loss. Currently, Joanne hosts a podcast, In This Story, where she shares her micro essays set to music, showcasing tales and observations from her very animated life. I love that. She writes press, has published her first book, By Accident, a memoir of letting go, in which Joanne emerges from life-threatening calamities with a big fat smile and a heap of hope. Good morning, Joanne. I'm so happy to have you here.
And I'm very happy to be here. Thanks so much for extending the invitation.
Oh, I love it. So you are obviously very experienced. You have been in San Francisco and in the radio pod, the radio show hosting, podcasting. So I'm a little intimidated, but
Don't be.
I'll
Don't
try to
be.
catch up with you.
It's just two gals having a conversation.
sounds great to me. All right. So tell me about your life, as your career progressed, why you decided to go into radio show, broadcasting, etc. Tell me about that.
Sure. I grew up just outside of Boston and was very different than the other members of my family who were all very linear math majors. My brother and sister both majored in math. I was the complete opposite. I had been writing and producing plays in my backyard with the neighborhood kids, and decided somewhere along the line that I wanted to be an actress and ended up going to school initially as a theater major. I went as far away from home as they would let me. They gave me a 1,000-mile limit, and I went to Northwestern just outside of Chicago. And shortly thereafter, realized theater was not for me and got involved in radio, television, and film, which I loved. And later transferred schools, and I was shy one credit, and I saw a sign on the wall that said that you could work at the radio station for one credit. And I thought, oh, that's perfect. So I applied and had a radio show on my second college campus. And then that combined with my writing, which I'd always done, sort of set me up for when I graduated and moved to California, embarking on a whole new life. I initially tried getting jobs in radio as a copywriter. And so that's how it began. But I began to produce radio shows and be, well, this was in the 1970s, the mid 1970s. So I was doing feminist talk shows, a show called Women Making Waves. It was a play on airwaves and stirring up trouble, which we were doing. And there were just so many topics to explore. And one thing led to another. So I was in radio in the Bay Area for about 20 something years and have always been a writer and have always been a person with enormous amounts of energy and also feeling the need to be in constant motion. And I'm sure that many of the women who listen to Roaming with Restless Women can relate. If we keep moving, we can assure ourselves that everything's fine. If we keep accomplishing, we can stave off the loneliness, we can stave off the pain, we can stave off all the stuff that we've swept under the rug. So, big long radio career, then ended up becoming a director of a department at a nonprofit, which involved producing programs for the public. Did that for some period of years. And I was the youngest of three children by a mile. My parents were not planning to have a third child. So my entire existence is an accident. So, thus, Thus, it's a play on words, my title, by accident, because it refers both to me and to what happened to me after I was in a devastating accident. I
Oh.
was walking across the street in broad daylight in a crosswalk. A car had stopped for me. And just as I got in front of her, a truck came at 50 miles an hour and slammed into her, which caused her to slam into me. I flew up in the air, landed on the hood of her car. She was catapulted down the street for about 50 yards, and then I fell off onto the street alive. And that's all I knew. I was conscious.
Oh.
I didn't ever lose consciousness, but I was in shock and couldn't move. And that is how the book begins. Literally,
My
how the book begins.
goodness.
And I mean, I can read you just
Yes, I would love
a
that.
sentence or two so that you get this sense of the drama. As I step onto the crosswalk, there's a sudden deafening sound, an explosion maybe. Then I'm airborne, thrown onto the hood of a car. What the hell? I silently scream to the universe or God or no one. Seriously. All I can hear is an ear-splitting cacophony. All I feel is wild, uncontrolled movement. Stop the car, stop the car. The car is catapulted down North San Pedro Road, my head banging against its windshield. I slip off the hood onto the ground, alive. I can't move, can't speak. I lift my head and blink my eyes a few times. Things come into focus. To my right, people crowd the sidewalk, staring at me with their mouths open in horror, like in Munch's painting. I hear someone yelling, "Oh my God, oh my God." I slowly turn my head in the direction of the sound, but see nameless faces. Cars are turned in different directions. People are running toward me. I'm lying splayed in the middle of the street and feel my short cotton print dress hiked up, naked thighs on display, like that matters. I keep blinking, but the scene doesn't change. So that's how it starts.
Oh my goodness. And how old were you when this happened?
58.
Oh my goodness.
This is October 3rd, 2012. I was heading home to watch the presidential debate between then candidate Barack Obama and Mitt Romney.
Yes.
So to place it in history
Wow.
for everyone to imagine
Yeah.
where they were right around then. Now, complicating this is that my husband of, let's see, next week we will be married 45 years. So my beloved
Congratulations.
husband, thank you, at age 7 woke up to find out that his parents had been killed in a car accident by a head-on collision with a drunk driver.
Oh my gosh.
So the worst call for him to ever receive is that his wife has just been hit by a car and he needs to go to the hospital and meet her there. So I was very damaged, 4 pelvic fractures, the whole right side of my body, all the soft tissue was crushed. I was hospitalized for 5 days and then came home with a hospital bed and a wheelchair and unable to move. And as someone who had always been fiercely independent and done everything not only for herself, but for everyone else,
Right.
I suddenly could do nothing. I couldn't get myself to the bathroom. I could not feed myself. I could do nothing. And so began a period of personal growth for me that has been unprecedented and has set me up to be able to deal with the inevitable blows that will come my way in the future. And as luck would have it, shortly thereafter this. So this recovery took about a year and a half.
Oh my
At the 2 year
goodness.
mark, not to do spoiler alerts here, but at the 2 year mark, I go for my, what's the 60-year-old colonoscopy with absolutely no symptoms. And they say, "Mrs. Green, when it looks like this, we're pretty sure it's cancer." And it was.
Oh my gosh.
So, again, spoiler alert, I'm fine. I'm fine from all of it. They caught it
Oh,
early enough. I had a
that's good.
major surgery, but there were a series of things that kept happening that gave me the opportunity to practice the skills that I had developed out of necessity because I wasn't going to fold. It was
Yeah.
absolutely out of the question. As the car's hitting me, and I've just come out of a period of time where I've lost and I cannot make this up. My mother and my sister died within 5 months. And a couple of years later, my brother died out of nowhere. So I've just lost every, and my dad had died a long time ago. So this was, I had just lost my entire family. I thought I've been to hell and I'm now back and I can function and go to work again. And then what happens? I get hit by a car, literally hit by a car. So when I said seriously, in that, that's really what my whole body and self and mind were saying. It's like, oh, and now this. And almost immediately something kicked in and my inner strength, my I don't know what said, all right, let's do this. And that became my mantra, and that's how I got through. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Whatever juncture along the way, and there were many setbacks, as there are with these things, it's not linear progress. I would always say, I can do this one step at a time. And there were many other things that I learned also. And again, it wasn't a linear path of growth. There were setbacks, and there still are. And I don't have all the answers, but I have some answers that I think can help other people. Because what we know for sure is that shit happens. I hope you don't mind my using that
Oh
word.
no, not at all. You say it because that's exactly what it
Stuff
was.
will, right? Stuff will happen in our lives. We will experience loss. We will have failures. We will have injury, illness, all of these kinds of things, if not to ourselves, to our loved ones. And we can't control that. But what we can control is how we respond and what we do in the aftermath and how we move through the period of time where you, every day you're tempted to just like fold, like in the card game, you know, you're tempted to just go, I'm out. That's it. Can't handle this. And you can do that. That's a choice. But you sure won't have the amazing life that I have now post all of those things. And so I wrote this book. Initially, I was writing it for friends and family. And then the more I worked on learning the craft of memoir writing, I'd always been a writer, but I didn't know how to be that kind of a writer. I was a journalist, just the opposite. Journalist, your feelings don't matter. It's all about objectivity. Well, a memoir is the opposite. A memoir is entirely about your feelings, and it's about learning to write in scene and learning to write dialogue and learning to write in such a way that the reader will find herself in your story, even when you didn't get hit by a car or have a cancer diagnosis. So as I worked on it, it was a 5-year process. I finally thought, hey, you know, this is really getting better. I kept, you know, and I hired a developmental editor and blah, blah, blah. And the book suddenly it seemed like, well, maybe this could have more appeal than just to the people who know me. So I ended up publishing with She Writes Press, which is a feminist press, which was a great experience, a phenomenal experience, because we were a cohort of women whose books were all being published at the same time, and we supported one another in a major way. And lots of sharing of best practices, promoting each other's work, showing up for each other's launch events. And, you know, we often think about what would an ideal world look like, and I'm determined to try to create it around
There you
me.
go.
And I say that to you today as Los Angeles is blowing up with riot police and National Guard and all of that. And I think, you know, we just have to start small and practice kindness and support one another and remember a whole lot of things that are in my book and that I hope you read and I hope it's helpful.
And not give in is one of those.
Well, not giving
Don't
in is one.
fold, you know, don't
No, don't
fold.
fold. The thing is, there were a number of things that my mom said to me over the years when I was growing up, and perhaps you'll relate. I would roll my eyes, like, count your blessings. Count your blessings. How corny. Okay, can I just say, you cannot hold despair and gratitude at the same time, and gratitude
Correct.
will win. So if
Yes.
you say, yes, I've been hit by a car and I have four pelvic fractures, but at least I have a loving husband who works from home and can take care of me. At least I'm not going to lose my house because I've lost my income.
Right.
At least I have the resources to get physical therapy, psychological therapy, because I didn't want to be stuck in that trauma mindset.
Oh, no,
Are
huh?
if you don't do the work. So I had many things to be thankful for. And my younger son, who had been living with his girlfriend and they had known each other since high school, while I'm in the hospital on morphine, you can imagine, just like barely on the pill, whispers in my ear, "Do you think I can propose in the next 3 weeks? Do you think I can pull it off?" And I said, "Yes, you can." And so
Yeah.
that became a counter narrative. And so even though I was deeply broken and traumatized and waking up in the middle of the night with flashbacks and everything else, I knew that I had to get better enough to dance at his wedding. And I did.
Perfect. It's amazing what will motivate us during those very low times. And a lot of time it's not, something huge. A lot of times it's something just very small that comes in. One of my friends told me, she was looking for a job, and she said, every time I hear a wind chime, I think that's a new job or offer coming to me. And she used to walk, her neighborhood, and several people had wind chimes, and that worked for her. It kept her up. It kept her anticipating, as opposed to having that scarcity mindset that often happens when, you've been working on something for a long time and nothing's happened,
Absolutely.
you
One of the things I
know?
yeah, one of the things I talk about is we talk to ourselves all the time.
All the time.
We give ourselves messages. Unfortunately, many of those messages are not helpful. We say
Correct.
things like, "Who do you think you are? Why is it that you think you can do this?
Right.
You've pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, but you're really a piece of garbage and you know nothing." All of that kind of stuff, not helpful. Or the kind of perseverating that we do. We get into a thought loop and we just go round and round on the same thing. And what if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this happens? All of it is, it holds you back. And so
Self-fulfilling.
what I share in my talks is, and by the way, I'm happy to, come and be a speaker anywhere because it's very uplifting. I say, speak to yourself like you would speak to your best friend. Would you ever say that to someone you love? Well, remember that you love yourself, or try to cultivate some love for yourself, and then be compassionate and be empowering and be a cheerleader. And so when I said over and over again, "I can do this, I can do this, I can do this," I didn't believe it at the beginning. But if you say it enough, you start to believe it. And that's what started happening. Another one that I got from my mom that I rolled my eyes about is, "This too shall pass." Now, it turns out I learned not too long ago that it is an ancient thing. I'm Jewish, and it's in the Talmud, which is one of our most ancient texts. In Hebrew, it's Gam Ze Ya'avor, "This too shall pass." It is something we're supposed to say when we're in physical pain, emotional pain, terror, fear, whatever, because it's a moment. The next moment may be worse, but it's the one thing we can count on is change. It won't stay exactly like this. You will have a different experience coming. And so, in grief in particular, grief is something I've learned a lot about just by personal experience and a lot of reading and a lot of talking to people. There are no shortcuts. You have to go through grief. And if you try not to, you'll pay a price later. One way or another, it's going to get you. So you might as well do it at the time and take the appropriate amount of time and space to feel it through. But when you're in it, you feel like it's always going to be like this. I am
Yeah.
never going to be able to, for instance, hear a Motown song and not think of my sister and start sobbing because we used to dance to Motown together. Well, now she's been gone for 18 years, and I don't cry when I hear Motown anymore. I am filled with positive memories. Why? Because that moment passed, and I wallowed in it. I cried and cried and cried and wrote about it and spoke about it and did all of what you need to do. And that's not to say that I don't miss her terribly every day. I do.
Of
And
course,
it's not to
yeah.
say that there aren't days still when I cry. I do. But
Yeah.
overall, I'm way beyond that grief now. And because this too shall pass. And another one was my mom used to say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, which I'm not sure how much wisdom there is in that, but I will say, if you feel like you can do anything, like really anything, it's empowering. And it gives
Yes.
you that added boost, that added st inner strength to be able to meet the challenges along the way and say, all right, I've gotten this disappointment, but I'm not going to fold, like we say, not going to fold. I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to try another route.
Well, and it adds to confidence. And your confidence is a lot of times what people see. And when they see that confidence, they're more likely to trust in you and they're more likely to help you. They're more likely to want to engage with you. And then the more people that want to engage with you, the more confidence you have and the more you know you've got support. So I think it's all a matter of that self-fulfilling prophecy of whatever you put out, you're going to get back. And if you're putting out negative all the time, you're going to get that back all the time.
Why
So,
is that so difficult for some people to understand?
I think there, I was born kind of a pessimist, to be honest with you. I always looked and I always saw the things that could go wrong. And it's just, I don't know if it was how I was raised or, how, whatever happened, but it took me a long time to realize that looking only for the things that could go wrong would make them happen. And it took me a long time to realize that. And but once I did, then I started looking for all the things that could go right. And once that happened, then things started to go right. Not that,
It's really
I
that
didn't have
simple.
the, it is that simple. It's the energy that you put out in the universe, and you'll get the same back because people
It's
will
so
mirror
true.
what you're doing. And it's a great lesson for leaders. I work with senior women leaders as a coach, and it's a great lesson for them to understand if you're a leader, people are watching you all the time. If you want your team to be a good team, be a good leader. Show them what that looks like. They're going to follow your lead. So it seems very, very simple, and it is in our minds. It's our gut and our heart that gets involved that messes things up sometimes, but you have to have that as well.
I want to talk for a minute about what you were saying of being a pessimist or seeing the cup as half full. I think anxiety, which is probably what was at the root of that,
Probably, yeah.
we have anxiety for a reason. It's so that we know to have that fight or flight instinct when there's, a big monster coming at us. We don't just say, "Hi, how are you?" We leave. But I think what becomes difficult for human beings is distinguishing between reality and thoughts. And the thoughts that are like, and then this could happen, and then this could, all of that, I call it monkey mind. It just like you get on a like a hamster wheel almost. And this is something that my sister's therapist taught her like 20, 30 years ago, and I just latched onto it. Ask yourself to reiterate in those moments, what do you know to be true? Well, what I, for instance, I have that colonoscopy, and then they say, we think it's when it looks like this, it's probably cancer, but we have to wait for the results of the biopsy to come back. So of course my mind is I have colon cancer. I'm going to die of colon cancer. My hair's going to fall out. I'm going to be
Oh,
like,
yeah, everything.
I went right down that road. And then I stopped myself because I had done all this work in the previous couple of years. And I said, what do I know to be true? I know that there was a polyp. I know that that polyp looked suspicious. That's what I know. That's all I know. Well, then I got the call that it was cancer. And then I had to have the same conversation with myself. What do I know? I know that I'm going to have surgery. That's all I know. I don't know that I'm going to need chemo. I don't know that this is going to be stage two, three, or four. It could be stage one. I don't know. Therefore, I'm going to focus on the surgery. I'm going to focus on a good outcome. What do I need to do to prepare myself to be in the right mindset to not freak out? Because that
Yeah,
is
that's not
not
going to do
helpful.
you any good, right?
So those are just examples of things I learned, and I get the chance to practice them all the time.
Well, one of the things that I found is even in some of our flaws, like my pessimistic bent, for instance, even then there was a good side to that. And the good side was when I'm working, when I'm doing my consulting business, the first thing that I pick up on is the risks. I'm a great risk assessor because I can look at a project and say, here are all the things that could possibly go wrong. Which of these is likely? If it's likely or it has a high probability, what are we going to do if it happens? So I can lead a team through all of that. And that's using what could be, a bias or a flaw to the benefit of my life and someone else. So there is the possibility, we don't all get all the perfect, beautiful, wonderful gifts. We get a mixture.
And we are who
We
we are.
and
We're
we
not going to
are who we
become suddenly a
are.
fundamentally different person. This is the deck.
Correct.
This is the hand I was dealt. What am I going to do with that now?
Well, and it makes me perfect, unique, and if I know how to apply my gifts in the different situations for the good or for the benefit of me or the world or whoever, then that's, I think, what we're here to do. So ultimately, everything is a gift. And if you think of it that way, then you can find a way to use it, even the bad stuff about yourself.
It's hard. It's
It
hard,
is
but it can
hard.
be done. I wanted to read you another little excerpt.
Oh, yeah,
This is the
absolutely.
beginning of chapter two. It's just a paragraph. Being hit by a car is not my first blow, although it's probably the most literal, and it won't be my last, but it will be a catalyst for me, a sudden graphic stop to my constantly in motion existence, my need to produce and achieve to feel worthy of love, my need to control everything. Because I've believed that it would make me safer. It will be the test that finally teaches me that my needs are masks and that control is an illusion. I've had plenty of opportunities, losses, hard ones, to learn to let go, but I grieved my losses and went right back to my old ways. The accident has stripped me, made me totally dependent on others, put cracks in my bones, and revealed cracks in my armor. I can't go back to my old ways, not easily anyway. Over time and through a series of other physical and emotional challenges, I will discover that losing control can be the best way to truly gain it. Letting go means letting in light, revealing my real power, and finally feeling that deep sense of peace that I'd been desperate to find.
That is beautiful.
Thank
And it
you.
speaks directly to how to use everything that happens to you to build the life that you're supposed to have instead of the life you're trying to force to happen. We spend a lot of our lives trying to force things to happen or try to avoid things from happening. And when if we
Blaming.
would, and blaming, shaming, judging, all of those negative things. And if we just let
You know,
life
feeling like
happen.
a victim. I mean, I think that's another tricky one.
Oh, yes,
Like,
yes.
just because this happened to me doesn't mean anybody owes me anything.
And
And
well,
I needed to
yeah.
learn that some people who love me still behaved badly. They did not know how to show up for me for whatever their reasons. And I didn't, it's not important for me to know that, although, of course, I speculated ad nauseum. But like, why aren't they showing up? Why aren't they calling me? They've moved on. I mean, you know, everybody's all there in the first week or two,
Oh,
right? They all
yeah.
show up right at the beginning because it's the drama, it's the news. But then it's yesterday's news. And I'm still broken and lying here in pain and not able to do anything. So one of the many things I learned is that everybody's different. And if I choose to accept somebody with, even though they didn't behave in a way that I wanted them to, then that's my decision of whether to continue to be in relationship with them or not. But it doesn't mean the relationship ends necessarily. So everybody has different needs for privacy, some people more than others. I have none. That's just me. All these different things. And I made a list of all the things that I learned, and I have it up in the inside of my medicine cabinet. So I see it every day.
Every day. Oh,
And
that's
it's been a
beautiful.
lot of years. It's now been, we're coming up on, it's like 12 and a half years since this happened. And I still need to remind myself, slow down. You don't need to rush through life. You're going to be much safer at a more comfortable, adjusted pace. It's not just about how much I accomplish in a day, but how I do what I do that matters.
Yes,
You know, things like that. I
absolutely.
never regret taking time to spread joy. I stop
That's
and pat every
beautiful.
dog,
Oh,
every little.
yeah.
I say hi to every little
Yes.
child, you know, because
Yes.
it makes me happy. It makes them happy. It makes the world a little bit
A little
sweeter.
bit better. Absolutely. Okay, so we're coming too close to the end. So I'm going to ask my three questions that I ask everybody. The first question requires that you close your eyes just for a moment. In your mind's eye, describe what you see when I say the words wise woman. And you can open your eyes.
I see. It was not a woman I know. I saw the face of a woman with lots of wrinkles, and like, which I think of as the visual signs of wisdom that, you know, like this right here, this neck stuff. But this
I've
is,
got a lot of it.
you know, I tell my granddaughter when she pulls the skin on my hand and it stays up, I explain that all of this is showing how long I've lived, how much I've learned, how many experiences I've had. So when I, this nameless older woman was content.
Yes, at peace. Yeah, I love that. Where do you like to roam?
I am a person who loves to roam in nature. And I've always felt this way, but I've embraced it in a major way now. And I have become a certified nature and forest therapy guide because I
How
hike and I
nice.
know that I'm not going to be able to hike forever, but I can always. This is like Japanese forest bathing. I don't know if you've heard about it, but
I
it's a
have
matter of,
not.
it's amazing. Slowing yourself down. It's a guided experience, which I provide. And we really take the time to feel where you are and notice things. So it's a series of invitations where you go into the woods or wherever you are. It could be a beach, it could be a garden, and focus on one thing at a time. So maybe you're focusing on color or texture or what's in motion, for instance. And incredible things happen. And
So
so I
is
had
this the
this
new
experience.
thing? The
This is
new
my new
thing you're
thing.
t All right.
This is my new thing.
Yes.
So I am leading these and turning people onto it and helping them to slow down and get a little balance in their life.
Oh, that's beautiful. I
But I
love
also
that.
travel constantly and I go everywhere. And mostly, where do I go? To Los Angeles, where my three grandchildren are.
Best destination ever. I have a little 6-month-old baby bear. I love him so much.
This is not something you can ever explain to someone. You
No.
just have to feel it yourself. It's the
Yep.
best. The
It
best.
is the best, the best, the best. You're right. Final question. What makes you restless in a good way?
Ooh, everything in my case. Really, almost everything. So I read what's going on in the world. I want to get out there and do something about it. My thing is that I always need to remember that I can't do it all. I used to pretend that I could do it all and I would get myself in trouble. I would get myself sick because I tried to do too much. And now it's more a matter of saying, okay, pick. What are you going to focus on? Where are you going to, excuse me, put your efforts? But I'm just not someone who can sit around and do nothing. I am constantly moved to volunteer with this or with that or do this or start something new or learn something new or go on a trip. And so what makes me restless, I would say in a good way, is my curiosity.
There we go. I love it. Curiosity. Well, folks, if you are curious to learn more about the book by accident, please take a look at, I'm assuming you can get it on Amazon.
You can get it on Amazon in any of three forms. It's a
Okay.
paperback. There it is. It
There you go.
is, it's an audiobook because my husband's a recording engineer and I was a voice talent for many years, so we produced it ourselves. And it's also a Kindle, an ebook. So
Which
and
works
whatever.
really well for people who have RVs.
I mean, I like to be able to adjust the font, to be perfectly honest with you, because I anyway, so that those are the three ways that it's available, and definitely Amazon, although I do want everybody to go to their local bookstore and ask for it because it can be ordered. But if you are, just want the convenience factor, Amazon's got it.
Got
And
it.
then the other thing is my podcast, In This Story, which is available on all podcast platforms. Each episode is about 5 minutes long. So knowing that nobody has an attention span anymore, I figured everybody can get a little chuckle or a little moment of nostalgia. But I write about crazy everything from school lunch to oh my, the number of topics. I mean, they're all there. So if you look at it, you can just see there's over 60 episodes. So.
Very good. Well, I need to go and check that out. Thank you all for watching. Please take a look. I've got all the information for Joanne down in the show notes. Please go in and take a look at those. And Joanne, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, and thank you for the work you're doing. It's making the world a better place.
Thank you.